So how many have ever been invited to an Amway meeting before? You've never been invited to an Amway meeting. You've always been invited to dinner, right? And it turned into an Amway meeting, right? Well, just so you know this morning, that's not what's going on here this morning. If you're part of Amway, if I just insulted you, I'm sorry. I heard it's a good company. I don't know much about it. But actually, as we're in the beginning of a new year, what we're looking forward to doing is kind of sharing with you just the vision of Integrity Church. And we have been spending, since the beginning of 2017, really kind of focusing our hearts in prayer and meeting and seeking God on the direction for Integrity Church. So what I want to share with you this morning is not new information. We haven't changed the vision of our church. But one of the things we're kind of seeing is as we're growing, as we're hitting, now we're 13 years old, we're teenagers now, God help us, and we're seeing God start to fill in blanks for us and bring some clarity to some things. And so what I want to share with you this morning is something we, like I said, we started early on in the beginning last year, and just real excited to share with you what I believe God has been speaking to us as a church family. Those of you who know me, when I tell you we began this process in the beginning of last year, and we waited this long, you know what a miracle in and of itself that is, because I don't like to wait when I get excited about sharing something with you. But this has been something that we've really just bathed in prayer and have just seen just the fingerprints of God on it. Because as I said, what I'll be presenting to you today and next week is not new information. It's been something that the Holy Spirit has been leading us through all along the way. And we finally kind of have an opportunity to take a step back and see, oh, that's what that looks like. And so I look forward to sharing that with you. But in a moment, before I do that, I want to share something that I've learned over the course of time. I've been in ministry for enough years to have learned a couple of things. And what I want to share with you before I unleash the vision is that there are three different kinds of people in the room this morning. This is something I've learned. There's three different kinds of people in the room this morning. There are today people. There are tomorrow people, and there are yesterday people. There are today people, there are tomorrow people, and there are yesterday people. Now, you're just the hearing of that, you're probably going through your mind saying, well, what category do I fall into, and is that the right category? Let me just kind of say right from the get-go, there is no wrong category. Each one of these things are extremely positive. Every one of these things are extremely valuable. Each of these are strategically brought into our church by God so that we'd have a very healthy, well-rounded church. And so as we talk about this idea of today people and tomorrow people and yesterday people, something I've learned is that we need to understand the differences between each of those people. Because here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes when we don't understand someone or we hear somebody that doesn't think like us, right away we become threatened by that person because they don't think like we do. And instead of kind of having conversation with each other to kind of explore our differences, sometimes it's easier just to kind of take off and leave that person. Unfortunately, what I've kind of learned, and sometimes I've learned this the hard way, the lack of appreciating and understanding these groups oftentimes is the cause of hurt feelings, of broken relationships, of misunderstandings, and people leaving the church. And certainly we don't want that to ever be the reason. Because as I said, people tend to feel threatened by people that they don't understand, that tend to think a little bit differently than they do. Now let me just say this. This doesn't only apply to church, what I want to share with you. What I want to share with you applies not only to church, but it applies to really all relationships of life. And it It applies to your family. It applies to your job environment. It applies really to all organizations that have more than two people in it. And so it's something that we really should really learn to appreciate about one another. Now, I'm gonna share a couple of the characteristics of each of those things, but before I do, let me just say this. It is likely that many, if not all, of those characteristics are gonna kind of land on you and say, yeah, I think that's important too. I think that's very valuable. It's very probable that all of the things I'm gonna share with you are very important to you, but there's gonna be some of those that you're gonna be like, yeah, but this one is really important. This is like, hey, everybody should think like this. Now, that's the danger, by the way. Because not everybody's going to think just like you think. And so we need to learn to communicate with one another and understand one another and see what kind of drives each person. So what is a today person? What does a today person look like? A today person is energized by making sure that the things of today are prioritized. I mean, they're super excited when their punch list gets checked off. They sleep really well at night knowing that all the things that were on their table, or their agenda for that day, got accomplished. Today, people recognize that unless things are in proper order today, there really won't be any tomorrow. They tend to be more analytical and more concrete. They're more factual about things that they are responsible for. Even as I explain this, our today people are probably here thinking, absolutely, that makes total sense. There is no tomorrow without today. And so why would anybody expend any energy into tomorrow? Because tomorrow won't happen unless we have a successful today. And so all of our energy needs to be in today. Let's take care of today and deal with tomorrow, because tomorrow will eventually become today and we'll deal with it then. That makes total sense to a today person. Today people love words like faithful, dependable, consistent, and logical. These are all great characteristics. Important ingredients to have in any mix of people are today kind of people. Tomorrow people are a little bit different. Tomorrow people are energized differently. Tomorrow people are energized by making tomorrow a priority. Tomorrow people recognize the need for today, but they comfort themselves with the fact that historically, today has always been taken care of anyway. What they fail to realize is it was taken care of because today people took care of it. But what they realize is today, while it's important, it doesn't energize them. What energizes them is thinking about tomorrow. And so they like to, they recognize the need for today, but they comfort themselves in knowing that it's going to be taken care of. It'll all work out. They direct their energy into tomorrow, looking to see how far they can possibly go. How fast can they move this organization along? How impacting with just the right plan and strategy and visioneering, how fast and impacting can we move this thing into the future? It energizes them. Tomorrow people love to hear about vision, strategy, and dreams for the future. They sleep well knowing that they're a part of something that is bigger than themselves. They're energized by knowing that what they're working on can possibly be accomplished in a day. Tomorrow people tend to be less detail-oriented. They're more big picture kind of people. They're more visionary, and they tend to be a bit more impatient as well. They love words like faith and hope and risk and dream and vision. It's what fuels them. And then lastly, we have yesterday people. Yesterday people love to look back with fondness over the things from the past. It's not that they're stuck in the past, nor is it that they're living in the past. It's not a negative thing. They just recognize that our past has made us who we are today, and it will greatly impact who we are tomorrow. And so there's a tremendous fondness in yesterday because it defines kind of who we are today and will greatly inform who we're going to be tomorrow. They love to talk about remember whens that they had with perhaps friends from days gone by. They love to share the stories of the glory days. They're not anti-tomorrow. They're just not in a hurry to get there. They're not anti-change. They just want to make sure that the change is being employed slow enough so that it doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change what made us us. That we don't lose ourselves in the process of moving ahead. It's a very critically important person to have. By the fact that we're still on the same mission that we began so long ago. They love to talk about by the fact that we're still on the same mission that we began so long ago. They love to talk about the old days, the starting of new things. And they're always calling to remembrance the things from the past so that we don't forget them. They're not living there, but there's tremendous value in their mind to say, let's just not forget what makes us us. Let's not get so caught up with the excitement that we lose ourselves in the process. That's an important person to be around. Consistent and conservative. They love words like careful, slow down. We must understand, but here's the part that we need to stretch ourselves in. They are as equally as important as you are. They are strategically assigned by God to keep the timeline of what God is doing on God's timeline. I have learned that the ones that God has put in my life that at times I thought were holding me back was nothing more than the grace of God to slow me down so I don't make a mistake. Critically important people to have in our life, and we need to recognize the value of that so that we don't undervalue one another. And so that we can truly appreciate one another. Because nothing drives a tomorrow person crazier than a yesterday person. A tomorrow person is wanting to move 100 miles an hour, and a yesterday person, the way they view a yesterday person is they're just trying to hold us back. They're afraid of change. They're looking to live in yesterday. And if that tomorrow person doesn't understand and spend time with what's driving that person, they're going to draw the wrong conclusions, and they're going to spin off in a different direction. Nothing drives a yesterday person crazier than a tomorrow person. Because what they're saying is, wait a minute, slow down. Why are we in a rush here? Well, let's be careful. Things seem to be changing. Who are all these people anyway? Maybe what we need to do is kind of like slow things down so we can get to know one another and get an assessment of what's going on here. Because if we keep going at this pace, we're going to be something different than what makes us us. And you see, they're not trying to stop the work. They're trying to protect it and preserve it. As a strategically sent person by God into any organization, church, business, whatever it may be, truth applies everywhere. It needs to be something that is accepted and appreciated and used as a tool. You see, a lack of awareness that these people exist, and even more, a lack of awareness that each of these are critically important, is oftentimes what causes much division within the church and or any organization. I remember when we started the church, I remembered reading that they said 80% of the people that you start with are not going to be with you 10 years later. And I thought, not us. I don't know what stats they're looking at, but you know what? That's been us. That's been our reality. Why is that? Because as a church continues to grow, what ends up happening, sometimes the most spoken leaders in the church tend to be more tomorrow people. And what ends up happening is things can begin looking like just a tomorrow church. And the people who really appreciated what we were in the past or are concerned about things that might not be getting taken care of in the present today get left behind instead of incorporating them in to who we are. It's a very, very important person. One of the things I've learned is specifically with planting a church is that a church launches because of tomorrow people. It grows because of today people, and it becomes grounded because of yesterday people. It grows because of tomorrow people. I'm sorry, it launches because of tomorrow people, it grows because of today people, and it's grounded because of yesterday people. Each one working in according to their God-given design. It brings about health. I wonder this morning, how many today people do we have here this morning? Good. We celebrate you. How many yesterday people do we have? Great. How many tomorrow people do we have? It's good. Do you see how critically important? You know, if I take one yesterday person, one tomorrow person, and one today person, and I ask them a question, They're gonna answer it through the lens of what is most energizing and valuable to them. So why do I share all that this morning? Because as we talk about the vision of the church and where we're believing God is bringing us as a church, I fully recognize that that's gonna land differently with everybody. For tomorrow people, you'd be like, thank God, it's finally about time that somebody's communicating some clear vision as to where we're going. For yesterday people, it'd be kind of like, all right, but like, let's not change too much. There's going to be a little apprehensiveness. Today people can be like, well, how in the world is that going to work? Who's going to do this? And how's that going to get taken care of? And so I just want to kind of put all of your minds at ease this morning and say, listen, everything is going to be is filtered through the sovereignty of God. We can plan and strategize and do everything we want, but we need to recognize that we cannot predict or we can't presume on the future. Only God can do that. What we can do is we can follow the lead that we feel God is kind of leading us to and hold on to that, trusting that God will fill in the blanks along the way. I just want you to know, as a tomorrow guy, if you haven't figured that out already, as a tomorrow guy, I am very aware of the fact that I need to be surrounded with today people and yesterday people because they will well round me as a pastor and as a leader in the church. And so here's something else I recognize. The further down the road we look to the vision of the church, the fuzzier it's gonna be. I noticed as I'm getting older, I can't see like I used to see. I figured just hanging out with Andrew Buntempo, my eyes would get better, but it doesn't, but I've noticed that the further I look, things get blurry. You know, vision is like that, right? So the further down the road we look to our future, we can kind of get like an image of what we kind of feel, but the reality of it is, it's gonna be a little blurry. And so everything needs to be seen through the lens of the sovereignty of God. We need to trust results and timing to God. We need to trust heart change to God. The disciplines and the things that we need to employ, the things that the scripture calls us to do, becomes our responsibility, and those are the things that we need to do. And so what we're going to do is I want to share with you, it's very interesting. Andrew shared from Jeremiah this morning, one of his contemporaries was a prophet by the name of Habakkuk. Habakkuk questions the Lord, just three short, small chapters in the Old Testament. He is freaking out because he's like, you know, why are the unrighteous people seem to be thriving? And God, why don't you just like tear them apart? Why aren't you like unleashing your wrath on these people? Why does it seem that they're getting away with it and you're seeming like you're doing nothing, is what Habakkuk is saying. And God shows him that he is not unaware and he is not idle and he is not passive, but he is doing a greater work for the long haul. And he begins to show Habakkuk a plan that he has for the future. But he says something to him very important in Habakkuk chapter 2. He said, after Habakkuk asked the question, it says, the Lord answered and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And so what God tells him to do is to write the vision down. It's okay to have a vision. Write it down so that those can read it and run with it. And what we want to do this morning and next week is kind of share with you the vision of Integrity Church so you can kind of know where our priorities are, where we're focusing, where we're believing, what kind of a church we are. And it's important for us to kind of revisit the importance of what makes us us. And our vision really is going to consist of two parts, a picture and a frame. And we're calling the name of our vision strategy Saturate 2028. And I'll share with you next week what that looks like. But we'll be looking at our vision like we would be looking at a picture. However, every picture needs a solid frame to kind of hold it in place. A vision tends to be, or a picture tends to be somewhat flexible. Whereas a frame is pretty solid. It's not moving, it's kind of fixed. You see, when we started Integrity Church, we shared what the vision of our church was. It was reaching up and reaching out and reaching in. Reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Reaching out to the unchurched with the message of hope that's found in Jesus Christ alone. And reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. And I want to tell you this morning, we haven't changed that one bit. We're not bringing to you a new vision, but some plans or some strategy on how we might fulfill the bigger vision of reaching up and reaching out and reaching in. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at just the frame part and then the part that's more fixed. And you'll see that the vision of our church, if you're just visiting with us this morning or you have no plan on staying here, this is just as much for you this morning because, as you'll see, much of what we're sharing is ultimately what we're all called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. It's not, what I'm sharing with you this morning is not a church strategy. It's a disciple strategy. And so to begin, what we're going to take a look at is our frame this morning. And to kind of do that, I'm going to get daring and begin to draw for you. And so to start off with our frame here, what we see here is the first part of our frame is what, there we go. We're going to call that our mission. Our mission is the thing that we are driving towards. Everything that we do needs to be looked at through the lens of our mission. Our decisions, our finances, our time, our energy needs to be filtered through the mission of what we're looking to do. And here's what our mission is. And I gotta tell you, as we began to unpack this in the beginning of last year, we started writing out all these different extravagant and exciting and impacting mission statements. And we kept trying to whittle it down to the core of what's really most important. And I think with the help of the Holy Spirit, we kind of able to whittle it down to something that makes a lot of sense. And it's simply this, The mission of Integrity Church is to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. That's the mission of our church. The mission of our church is to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. Because here's the thing, every metric of discipleship will get accomplished if we are passionately following Jesus. If we are passionate, if he is the lover of our souls, if he is our all in all, if he is the very air we breathe, if he is the center of our life, which is what it means to passionately follow Jesus, then every other metric of discipleship will be pursued. We will then be studying the Word of God. We will then be praying. We will be worshiping. We will be in fellowship with one another. We will be evangelizing, because what God loves will begin loving, and love God loves lost people. And so really, if we whittle it down to the one thing that is our drive, what the mission of the church is to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. Anything we do in a spiritual sense, you know, as an act of worship, that's done by any other motivation than love for Jesus is religion. Anything we do for God that's not motivated by our love for Jesus is religion. And religion does not satisfy. Religion kills. Religion is death. Religion holds us back. And what ends up happening is, when we do outside of love for Jesus, when something doesn't go our way, we become offended, we become hurt, and we take off. Church, don't ever do anything not filtering it through your love for Jesus. Let the love of Jesus be the thing that drives you towards obedience, not guilt. Let the love for Jesus be the thing that brings you to your knees in repentance, not shame. Love for Jesus. And that's our desire. That's our mission, to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. Because when you do that, then all the other metrics of discipleship and mission take place. The second part of our frame is what we would call our values. Our values. These are obvious. These are the things that we hold dear. These are the things that you got my value up there. Give me some value. Okay. Values are the things that we hold dear. They're the thing, and it was interesting, right? When we were unpacking this together, right? It was like we had a gazillion of them. It was like we had like 10 categories. It was just like a whole, it was 10 pages that we had? 10 pages of words, the things that we value. And I was like, all right, so these are really all good things. And the real question is like, what do you not put on there? Because we don't want to suggest that we don't value those things. And so we started to kind of break it down. And then we began to categorically come up with some words that might communicate the things that we value as a church. Because here's the thing, if you value everything, you'll never really be good in any one thing. And so we thought, let's get some words categorically that will communicate the things that we value as a church. And what we did is we used an acronym that might be very easy to remember. Jesus said this. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. That's what we're called to do, right? We're called to be the salt of the earth. And so what we use is we use the acronym of SALTED to help communicate what our values are here at Integrity. These are the things that make us us. It might make us different from another church. It doesn't make us better than them. It's just these are the things that we hold dear. These are the things that we value as a church. And the first thing that we see here is we value seeing people connect with God. I mean, there's nothing more exciting. To see somebody walk in that never knew Jesus before, that had come out of a life of sin and shame and pain and then coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ and seeing that connection made that's bigger than a church commitment, that's bigger than any kind of a religious effort, that they, man, they just fell in love with Jesus. How many, that's been your story, right? You've connected with God. And one of the things that we value and one of the things that drives us and the decisions that we make is we want to see people connect with God. We want to see creation and creator come together. And however we could be a part of that plan, I mean, obviously, we're so limited in our ability, but boy, God gives us opportunity to see that. It's something we value here at the church. And secondly, we value the authority of God's word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Man's opinion matters nothing. It is God's word that leads us and guides us. It is God's word that is the authority, the final amen on everything we believe. Everything we think about God, ourselves, and other people needs to be informed by God's holy word. It is only God's word that does not change other than God himself. And so we value God's word as the ultimate authority in this church. It is what we all yield and surrender our agenda to, is God's word. We value the authority of God's word. Thirdly, we value legacy cubed. What does that mean? There's two really areas that this addresses. The first one is that we value seeing disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Because that's what we're all called to do. We're all called to reproduce ourselves in other people. Take that which we've learned, right, and then begin to share it with other people. And you see, a Christian who is not investing their what they've learned in the life of another person is not doing all that God has called them to do. And so really what we value is seeing our disciples make disciples that make disciples. We need to be pouring into the lives of one another. It also speaks to our value of intergenerational ministry. We recognize that if the church is going to be healthy, if the church is going to be a safe place, if the church is going to be an instructional place, it is critically important to have all generations not only represented, but actively engaged in each other's lives. I never want to be a church that's just a young church. I never want to be a church that's just a middle-aged church or a church of just seniors, because it causes us to not see life through the lens of the rest of the world. But there's such wisdom that our young children can learn from our seniors. And there's so much that our seniors can learn from our children. And so one of the things that we value is not just having our each generation present. That's multi-generational. We value intergenerational, that each of those generations are working alongside one another, pouring into each other, getting to learn, and here you go, understand each other. Could you imagine what kind of a church we could be if our young and our old were listening and learning from one another? We value that. The fourth thing we value in our T is team ministry. We recognize that no one person has all the gifts. No one person can move a church forward and towards God's plan for it. God has invested into the church gifts into the body of Christ individually. And there is no one person that has all the gifts. And so if we're ever going to be able to fulfill all that God's called us to do, it's going to require each person coming to the table, being a part of a team. And you see, when a team is working together, then there's no rock star that gets the ball down the field by himself. It requires everybody. And so we recognize the importance of helping everybody to define what their gifts are, and then to be able to nurture those and use those in the ministry so that more people can hear and learn and receive Jesus. Team ministry. The E stands for every member a missionary. We value this idea that every member needs to see themselves as a missionary, because in the end of the day, that's exactly what we are. Spurgeon said it this way, that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. You don't need to get onto an airplane and go to a foreign land in order to be a missionary. The mission field is wherever you find yourself. The mission field might be at your job, it might be at your home, it might be in your community. Hey, it might be overseas, God bless you, if that's what God's calling you to do. But the mission field is not going to be defined, listen, by where you go, it's going to be defined by where you are. And if we can just begin to, as a church family, start seeing ourselves as missionaries, sent by God to make an impact for Jesus Christ, we will be fulfilling ultimately what God has called us to be doing. Sometimes we get so distracted by other things in life that we fail to remember that we are where we are to serve as missionaries. Every member is a missionary. Lastly, our D, it stands, something we value is we value a dynamic worship experience. We recognize that the importance of doing the best we can with what we have. If something's worth doing, then it's worth doing it great. And so what we look to do is we recognize we don't have the tools to change the hearts of man. Only God can do that. We don't have the tools to stir the spirit of a person. Only God can do that. But what we want to do is create an environment that's just pregnant and ready to allow us to come in and pour our hearts out with God, to connect with God through worship and prayer and devotion and community and fellowship with one another. We believe that God has given us a lot of tools, a lot of gifts. And if something's worth doing, man, it's worth doing it right. And so we value the dynamic worship experience. How many are thankful for the ones that the Lord uses to lead us specifically on a Sunday morning into that dynamic worship experience? I thank God for how we can just kind of leave this room in a sense and just begin to worship God at the throne in worship. These are the things we value. These are all categorical. There are so many sub-points to each of those things. But salted, because we're the salt of the earth and we want to see these things manifest in our life and in our ministries. At the base of our frame is where we have our strategy. Our strategy. So how do we go about doing this? How do we get disciples that want to make disciples that want to make disciples? How do we start getting our generations interacting with one another? How do we start making an impact with the world outside there so that they might connect with God? How do we start? Where does that take place? And we presented to you probably back maybe a couple of years ago, for those of you who are part of our fellowship back then, something the Lord kind of dropped in our heart. It's been interesting to see how much of what we're sharing, God has given us in little pieces along the way. But how many remember our funnel? How many remember the funnel? Right? Our funnel is our strategy to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. Our funnel is very clearly laid out. So the top of our funnel is our Sunday worship experience. It's here. It's where we gather the most on a Sunday morning. Everybody kind of comes in. It's here that we worship God. We're under the word of God. We're connecting with one another. But we all can recognize that we really can only go so deep with one another in an experience like this. And so we then invite, as we get to a little bit into the funnel a little bit, we start inviting people to more distinct kind of a groups. It's here that our men's ministry and our women's ministry and our young adults and our teens start interacting and engaging in life in areas that are distinct to them. And we're able to bring it in a little bit more intimate. And then as we continue down the funnel, it's there that our cohesion groups begin to become really important. Because now we're kind of getting out of the building and into each other's homes. And when you're in each other's homes, you get into each other's lives. And you start connecting with one another and hearing about the stories and the needs and the prayer requests and kind of doing life together. And then what ends up happening a lot of times, even from that small intimate group, That's why those one-on-ones kind of spring up. It's, hey, can we get together and have a cup of coffee? I've got to share this with you. It's through that mentoring and the discipleship that we start, again, we're growing. And here's the deal. As we're growing, we are then going out on mission. That's the idea. To go through the funnel. Now listen, you don't have to wait to get through the whole funnel to go on mission, right? People are kind of jumping out on each of those, but they're going on mission. And they're bringing them in, and they're capturing, and they're learning from one another, and they're going through this process of discipleship and growing and learning and going out on mission. And so we're growing and going at the same time. It's our strategy. It's the way that we seek to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. Lastly, at the top of our frame, it's what we call our metrics. Our metrics are really important because this is where we learn this is how we know if we're winning. Are we accomplishing that which we set out to do? I mean, you can't just kind of like we're just going to do what we do, and I don't want to hear any results. Or just like, there's got to be some metrics in place. How do we know if we're hitting the target of inspiring people to passionately follow Jesus? What do we need to see? Because here's the thing: if we don't see results, we need to change what we're doing. We need to change the way we're doing things. Right, where they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Metrics are really important in all areas of life, and it causes us to take a moment of pause and look and say, am I winning? Am I being effective? Am I doing the best I can with this limited amount of time called life that I have? And so as we kind of look at the metrics for Integrity Church, it's more like, what do we want to see take place as a result of Integrity Church being in the community? And you can imagine, we had a whole list of things as we kind of went from page to page to page on things that we look to see God. Oh, we'd love to see all these different things happen. And we start to whittle it down a little bit to kind of categorically present it. And we kind of came up with these three R's. Three R's, the three ways that we're going to kind of know if we're winning. The first one is we want to see a revival of Christianity. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, if what we want to start seeing is as we are investing in the world around us and pouring ourselves out and sharing Jesus, we want to start seeing people turn not to us, not to the church, not to religion, but to Jesus. And when people start turning to Jesus and start loving Jesus passionately, I want to tell you, this is going to start, revival start taking place. People start prioritizing the kingdom of God in their life. They start prioritizing all their life around what God says. I mean, you know, we need a revival in our land. Well, how does that start? It starts with passionately following Jesus ourselves first, and then inspiring other people to passionately follow Jesus as well. And so we want to see, one of the metrics, one of the ways we'll know we're winning is if we start seeing some spiritual fruit take place. Secondly, the next metric is a reestablishing of the core of the home. It's amazing how under attack our homes are all across America, all across the church. I think the Word of God has something to say about how our homes ought to be run. I think the Word of God can inform us pretty well on how to be husbands that love their wives as Christ loved the church. I think the Word of God can teach our ladies how to be wives that can build their husbands up and inspire them to being the godly men that God's called them to be. I think God has something to say about the way we raise our kids, the way that our kids respond to our parents, the way our children respond to all authority. There's been such a breakdown in the home. But I think that if we start to bring the Word of God and start allowing the Word of God to inform the way in which we are to relate with one another, we'll start to see the reestablishment of the core of the home. We'll start seeing less divorce. One of the things I'll be sharing with you next week is that one of the things we're looking to do is we want to find out what the divorce rate is in a defined area, and we're going to pray to God that we see that number come down. We want to see some hard numbers. We want to know if we're winning. We want to know if we're being strategic enough with bringing the gospel so we can start seeing the reestablishing of the core of the home. And the last but certainly not least, we'll know we're winning when we start to reinvest in our communities. I mean, that's really where the church needs to be. It's here that we come in, we get charged up, we get informed, we get instructed, we get inspired. Why? To go out into the world and start bringing Jesus to the people who don't know him. To go out and start serving our communities and making an impact, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. And so one of the things we want to be able to do is to take a step back and look and say, you know what? Because integrity was there, less people are cold in the winter. More people are full who were hungry before. Start reinvesting in our community. Maybe that means going into a community that needs teachers to instruct them and to tutor kids through school. Maybe that's going into an area where they don't know Christ and begin to invest in their community by not only meeting their needs, but instructing them on how to do budgets, how to handle debt, how to handle hardship, or whatever those things may be. Start reinvesting in the community so that the community doesn't need to rely on the government. It can start to rely on the church. We want to create an environment that if integrity disappeared, the community would know it. They'd feel it, and they would miss it. We'll know we're winning when we start to see a revival of Christianity, a reestablishment of the core of the home, and a reinvestment in the community. Because if those metrics are in place, if we start seeing those things begin to get played out in the field of life, what will end up happening is we'll have a whole bunch of people loving Jesus that much more. And at the end of the day, that's what we're called to do. It's just to point them to Jesus. To point them to Jesus. That's our frame. Those are the things that we can do. Those are the disciplines that we can employ. Next week, as we move into the next part, the picture that kind of goes into the frame, we're going to share a little bit about where we feel God is leading us as a church over the next number of years and how we can begin to prepare for whatever God may have. But this is important because here's the thing. One of the things that happens a lot of times, Will Mancini said something very, very important. He said, without a vision, the people... Now, we all know we'll perish. We know the scripture, right? Without a vision, people perish. But he says, without a vision, the people will cherish. What he says here is it's important for us to recognize that we need to present a clear vision for where we're going as a church. Because if it doesn't get communicated from the front, then everybody else is going to have their own vision for the church. And nothing will get done. And their vision oftentimes will become the thing that's most important to them. And that's okay in the sense that it's okay to have things that are most important. But we need to recognize how each of those things flow into a greater picture of what God is doing in this little local church called Integrity Church that's bigger than any one person, that's been sent here by God for such a time as this to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's the journey we're on. And we'll take a look at that more next week. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that you've called us out of darkness and you've brought us into the kingdom of your Son. We're thankful that you've invited us to come along this journey called life. And you've called us to take that which we freely received, and you've called us to make an impact in the world around us. Lord, we recognize the importance of making sure our agenda always bows to yours. Lord, as we go forward, I pray that you would just continue to lead us. We pray that your voice would be the loudest, that your personality would be the greatest, that your face would be the clearest, and that we would march together as a faceless army, doing that which you've called us and equipped us to do, loving one another in the process, and becoming more and more like Jesus. We thank you, we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.